When we take a look at the way the Megillah describes setting up the holiday of Purim, we find something very fascinating. The Megillah tells us in chapter 9, the rest of the Jews that were in the king's province assembled and defended themselves, gaining relief from their foes, slaying 75,000 of their enemies, but they did not lay their hands on the spoils. On the 13th day of the month of Adar, and they gained relief on the 14th day, making a day of feasting gladness. And the Jews of Shushan assembled both on the 13th and the 14th, and they gained relief on the 15th. And the Hebrew word for gaining relief is venachu, they rested. So the question that the Mefarshim ask, and this is found in source number 2, why is Purim not celebrated on the 13th of Adar, when the Jewish people were victorious over their enemies, but instead on the 14th day when they rested? Would it not make more sense that when we're celebrating Purim, what are we celebrating on Purim, which is a very basic question, would we say we're celebrating the fact that the Jews overcame the enemies, the Jews were able to defend themselves, and there was a miracle, we won the war, and we were saved. So would we not think that the day that we would celebrate this victory would be the day we won the war, which was the 13th of Adar? And yet, we don't celebrate on the 13th of Adar. We celebrate it on the day Venachu, that they rested, which is on the 14th day of Adar. Why would I celebrate on the day we rested? There's no miracle that happened then. So, in answering this question, what we're really going to try to answer is, what is it exactly that we're celebrating on Purim? Which is a fascinating question. Because if you ask most people, you know, walk down the street and you ask your fellow Yid, what is the holiday of Purim about? You'll say, well, Haman was killed and the Jews were saved. Okay, what day did that happen? The 13th of Adar. So then why don't we celebrate on the 13th of Adar? So the classic answer, which is given by the Manos Halevi in source number 2, is Jews do not rejoice and celebrate another's demise, even if that person is a Russia or an enemy. Instead, we celebrate our salvation, our being uplifted. Based on this idea, Purim does not celebrate the revenge against Haman and his cronies, but our survival against all odds. As such, Purim was established on the 14th, the day we rested from fighting and realized our salvation, not on the 13th, when we defeated our enemies. However, the question on Manos Halevi, which is probably the question going through many of your minds, is that true? Look at the Shvi Shel Pesach, Kriyas Yamsov. The Egyptians drowned, we were saved, and we have a holiday. Well, look at Pesach itself. The firstborns died, we were saved, and we celebrate. We don't celebrate the next day after we left Egypt, when we were already out of Egypt. We celebrate the day we left Egypt, when that very thing happened. So, which goes back to our original question of why are we celebrating on the 14th and not on the 13th? The Ben Melech, Rav Mintzberg Zatzel, was a very, very long essay on this, offers perhaps, Ulechara Yesh Lomar, in source 4, perhaps we could say that during that very first year, they couldn't celebrate on the 13th because they were fighting. So, on subsequent years, V'lachein ro'u l'nachon likbo l'chol adarot, that the Yom HaSimcha should be on the day that they celebrated the original year. But again, that seems a little bit problematic. Okay, so the first year they couldn't celebrate it on that day because they were fighting. Okay, that's a technical reason. But that shouldn't stop us from future years celebrating on the 13th. So therefore, he explains, V'nira b'zeh, Sha'af Sh'ikar Anes, in Source 5, Hayab Yud Gimel, Ava Mekevan Shetotza At Anes, Dehainu Hatzalavar Vachal Am Yisrael Hayab Yud Dalet, V'tedva B'mei Menucha, Dekol Zman She'yuna Tunim V'melchama Adayin Lo Yata Hatzal Shlema, L'chein Gam Hu Yom Mat'im V'ra'u Likbo Bo Et Tzion V'zecher L'Anes. So the Ben Melech offers another understanding. He says, okay, you're right. The 13th, we were fighting the war. But the day that we can really celebrate our salvation is only the day after. It was only the day after was the Yom HaTzalah, the day of saving. Only then do we realize that we were safe, that no one was trying to beat us up, and that we were protected. So albeit the 13th was the miracle that happened of the war, but the 14th was the consequences or the upshot of what was the result of the war. So what we're celebrating on Purim is not so much that we won the war. That would be the 13th. Rather, the 14th, what we're celebrating was the level of serenity and protection that Klal Yisrael felt as a result of winning the war. To which the Ben Melech then says, so now the question is, Matayu Ikar Hazman in 6, Sho'oto Ra'ui Likbo Hanes Vazikaro. So really the question becomes, is what's more important? What will be the deciding factor in marking a holiday? Ha'im Hayom Shabo Ira Etzem Mora Hanes. Is it the day that the actual miracle happened, which would be the 13th? Or is it the results of what happened, which would be the Hatzalah, the salvation, which is the 14th? Now, you're right. He says most of the holidays, the two happen at one and the same time. For example, Pesach, the destruction of the enemy, the salvation, the freedom, all happened in one day. Kriyas Yam Suf, the same thing. So therefore, it's all included in one day, and therefore we have Pesach and Shvi Shel Pesach. In our case, that it's divided into 2 days, the 13th was the war and the miracle, and the 14th was the salvation. The question is, well, what's more important? What are we focusing on? So the Ben Melech wants to argue in Source 7. He says, truth be told, he says, Lumazo Bepurim, Hare Ma'ora Hanes Hayan Star Mechuseh. Really? The miracle itself, we're arguing the miracle up on the 13th when we won the war, but that's not so clear. The miracle itself is very much concealed because there were many points over the course of the Megillah that you could say that is the point of the miracle. And you really can't say it was one over the other. So for example, when Vashti is killed, well, that was a miracle. Esther becomes queen. That's a miracle. Mordechai finds out about Bigtan Vateresh. That's a miracle. Mordechai is led through the streets. That's a miracle. Haman is hung. That's a miracle. What would we say is the Ma'ora Hanes? What is the miracle? Well, there are quite a lot of options. And therefore, says the Ben Melech, what Chazal decided was to make the holiday on one thing which was clear, which was the outcome of all of these miracles, the Hatzalah, the Nachu, that the Jewish people rested, and that the people were saved, and that Hatzalah, that's what we are celebrating, which was clearly on the 14th. Having said this, my friends, that is what we call a technical answer. Now let's try to understand, and we're going to look at this on two levels, Amir Tzachem, a deeper understanding of what is it about the 14th of Adar. In source number 8, the Hebrew Lekayim Aleim Liyodo Simet Yom Arbasar Lechodesh Adar V'yom Chamisha Sarbo B'chol Shana V'shana Kayomim Asher Nachu Bahem Ha'Yehudim Ha'Yveihem. The language of the Megillah is the days Asher Nachu Ha'Yehudim Ha'Yveihem, that the Jews rested from their enemies. That seems to be the key here, the resting, Asher Nachu. What we're celebrating is the fact that Klal Yisrael rested. So you say, really? We're celebrating the fact that Klal Yisrael rested? I have a little secret to tell you, my friends. Shabbos celebrates. We rest every week. We don't need a special holiday to tell us that we rest. What is the meaning of the resting of the Jews on the 14th, or by Shushan, on the 15th of Adar? And to answer that question, my friends, that is the key of what Purim is about on two levels for us here today. Level number 1, Source 8, Lekach Valipov, Rav Shor. Avodas Yom Purim hi lasik shalva amitit. Wow. Idea number 1, the goal of Purim is to reach inner tranquility. And therefore, Purim is dafka b'yom shenachu, the day they rested. Because resting is about tranquility. Resting is about peace, and what we're celebrating on Purim is peace. Really? Yeah. I'll tell you why, he says. Ki ikar koach amalek, in the arrow and aid, He levatel menucha v'shalva. The whole idea of a Molech, of Haman, was to try to make sure that we have no inner peace. Listen to this Gevaldic Medrash in Beis Sheet Rabbah. The Medrash talks about Va'aretz hayta tohu va'vohu v'choshech al pnei tahom, and the Medrash learns out that each of these phrases, tohu, vohu, choshech, tahom, refers to a different one of the four Malchios. The most famous that we've spoken about at length in the past is Choshech Zu Yavan, right? The darkness is referring to Yavan. The Medrash says, Bohu Zemadai. Bohu is Parasomadai. Shenemar Vayavhilu Lavi et Haman. Haman himself, that word Haman, is from the word Mehuma, the Sfarim say. Mehuma is the distraction, is uneasiness, of confusion. That's a good word. Bohu vayavhilu. They quicken to bring him. Everything's happening very fast. You're not thinking straight. That's the bohu. That's the Molech. That's what this is about. Harei shegalus madayhu inyan shabahala. It's this level of confusion. And that is in order to take away our yishuv hadas. Listen to what the Megillah itself says in the bracket in 8. Lehumam ule'abdam. What did Haman want to do? He wanted to not only le'abdam, to decimate them, he wanted lehumam, to confuse them, to take away their menuchas hanefesh. And as Rav Biederman points out in Berachayim in source number 10, what is the idea of lehumam? Shizu aita tachler tzono lashmid larog labed. Achmak hakavanah b'tiva luhumam. Okay, labdam, I understand he wanted to destroy them. What is luhumam to confuse them about? Shizu aita ikar akzeira labelbel daitam. He wanted to confuse them. Why? Because he knew that if Klal Yisrael were at a level of yishuv hadas, of tranquility and thinking calmly, they would daven. And if they would daven, he's up a creek. So therefore, he wanted to bring them to a level of lehumam, that they're in such a level of confusion and panic that they won't even have the wherewithal to daven, and then he'll be able, lavdam, to destroy them. So the whole idea of the Purim story, which is fascinating, and the whole idea of a Molech, that's the ikar of a Molech, that they came, a Molech, they came on them quickly, that they were unprepared. It's a Molech, Haman, Mehuma, is to bring to a level of total confusion, really to a level of chaos, where you can't think straight, and that is what the koach of a Molech is about. When you're in such a state, then they're able to get Klal Yisrael. Therefore, my friends, v'lechein muvan hakviyus shel Purim b'yom ha'menucha daika. Now I understand why Purim is dafka on the Yom HaMenucha, and now I understand on a deeper level the Ben Melech, the Hatzalah, the salvation is dafka on the next day. It's not just the fact that they're protected. This is the Ma'ora HaNeis. This is the key of the miracle. The key of the miracle is we vanquished a Molech. Ah, didn't we vanquish him on the previous day, on the Yud Gimel, on the 13th, which is the war? No. The war is one aspect of physically fighting them. But you know what a Molech is really about? A Molech is about confusion. A Molech is about not having menuchas hanefesh, not having that mindset of tranquility. Therefore, the next day, asher nachu, that they were able to rest, the next day, when the Jews were able to have this level of tranquility, this nachu, this resting, this tranquility is the ultimate overcoming of a Molech, and that's the celebration dafka on the next day, because that's what a Molech tried to do. A Molech, the vanquishing, the conquering of a Molech, is to be able to come to a place of menuchas hanefesh. When Klal Yisrael were able, asher nachu, they able to rest, then we know we've really overcome the Molech force, and that is exactly what we're celebrating. And therefore, he says, we don't make a yontif just for destroying a Molech. It's about the kinyan midas hamenucha. It's the acquisition of menucha, of rest. is what we're celebrating. Menucha, Shalom, V'Shalva. And therefore he says, Purim and Gematria is Shalev, is this tranquility. And therefore, my friends, Rechim B'Purim Levakesh Rachamim in 9, Purim is a time to ask for help from above. Lasig Menucha B'Yom Zeh L'Chol Yimot HaShana. To have tranquility for the entire year. Purim is a time to daven that we're able to overcome this Yetzirah, this Behala, this confusion, this state of uneasiness. And Purim is a day of tefillah, lasik inyan, kinyan midas hamenucha, to be able to acquire this trait, this character of menucha. Now, just before we go on, it seems almost ironic. If you think about it, Purim is a day where it is the most hectic of all days, particularly for women, right? This one's coming in with a torn costume. This one's crying because they didn't get the mishloch manot that they wanted. And this one's begging, can we already go deliver? And then your teenager decides to shake the Coke bottle and then open it up and the Coke is flying everywhere, right? I'm not even talking about the drunk people in the house. I'm just talking about the younger ones underfoot. And you're telling me this is a day of menucha? This is a day of tranquility? So, my friends, that's exactly what we're saying here. That if we're able to work on and know in advance that Purim is a day to focus in on tranquility, and what this means, we'll talk about Mirtz Hashem now, then that is a good sign that we can go through the rest of the year, Pesach cleaning and onward, in the state of menucha sanefesh, in the state of tranquility. Let's try to understand. We know that where does Amalek come from? So everything we know stems from the story of the Eitz HaDaat. These are ideas 11, 12, 13 we've done before, so we'll go very fast. Chazal asks, Hama mina Torah minayin, where is Haman found in the Torah? It's from the Pasuk, Hamina Eitz, from the tree that I told you not to eat. Did you eat? Different vocalization, Hey Mem Nun, it's Hamin, it's also Haman. Where does Haman come from? He comes from the Eitz HaDaat. The Eitz HaDaat, the tree of knowledge of good and bad, that before Adam ate of that tree, he had clarity in this world. He knew what was right and wrong. When he ate of that tree, he suddenly wasn't sure of what is right and wrong. And that is why Adam could hide from Hashem, knowing that Hashem sees everything, and yet he can hide from him, which makes absolutely no sense. You're right, because he's lost clarity. And when you lose clarity, you come into the state of what we're speaking about, of Bahala. I just have to respond quickly because I really don't know what to do because I'm in a state of confusion. And when I'm in a state of confusion, I act in ways I really want to act normal times. But you know what? I'm under stress, so I just got to act. And that is the result of eating of the tree. Hamin ha'etz, from the tree, did you eat? Does Hashem see? Does Hashem not see? How should I act? This idea of lack of clarity is what came into the world after eating. Hence, this is the source of Haman, of Amalek. Amalek, we know, is the same numerical value as Suffolk, as doubt. Doubt has entered into the world. And the very word in 12, the very word, Hamin, is the question. Did you eat? That's Amalek. That's doubt. That's leading to a world of confusion. And I have a little secret to tell you, my friends. This world of confusion is a world that we are immersed in now. It's a world we're living in, a world of Bahala, in a world of chaotic state. And that chaotic state, aside from the politics, I'm talking about within our lives, right? For sure in politics we're in chaotic state. That is what Shaya Astro, in his book, The Menucha Principle, calls Pizur HaNefesh. Let's take a look, Source 13, together. The word Pizur means to spread out, scattered, and unfocused. It's a sense of eternal chaos. The world we live in today in the Aaron 13 invites and traps us in Pizur HaNefesh through its constant bombardment of distractions, which invade our lives on a multitude of levels. It's a world that thrives economically and culturally. I'm promoting Pizur HaNefesh, filled with iPhones, an ever-growing array of sophisticated, exciting, addictive distractions that we call leisure, and maybe the incessant and compulsive emptiness online, text-based chatter, using social media as Twitter or Facebook. All of these things are the Pisur HaNefesh of our generation. When we're in a state of 14 in the bracket of Pisur HaNefesh, we're always alienated, emotionally isolated from ourselves and each other. We can observe its effects through agitation, anger, confusion, hurt, conflict, loneliness, etc. And if you think about it, my friends, I'm sure many people can remember a time when there was actually quiet in their house. I'm going back, 40 years ago, 30 years ago, no machines were beeping. There weren't even answering machines when I was growing up, right? You got a busy signal. I remember when we got our first answering machine as a kid, right? Like, wow, right? We're talking about silence. There was no microwaves growing up. Everything was quiet. And now we are bombarded. And every few seconds, sometimes minutes, but usually seconds, something's beeping. Another message comes in. Another message comes in. I have to listen to that message. I have to listen to what that one's saying. I have to respond on social media to that. And my Instagram. And then and all day, I'm just texting and WhatsApping. And who has time to be? Who has time to be in a state of? And everyone needs to know immediately the answer. And they know if you read it or not, whether you have to answer it or not, because if you read it and you don't answer it, well, that's not so nice because they know you read what they wrote. So you're forced to respond right away. Who has time to think? Who has time to have that yishuv hadas, that ability to just be? Who has time to even hear themselves think with all this machinery going around in our house beeping one after each other? That's the generation that we're living in now. It's a generation of the force, the Sitra Achra, called the Molech, called this force, where if you don't have time to think, then you just act and react, and you don't think what you're doing. And that leads to a world of chaos, which is very much a description of our lives. The flip side of this, for a nefesh is a life force that Hashem places 15 within every living being. For us as Jews, its purpose is to enable us to fulfill our life tasks as Ovdei Hashem. It has many dimensions and powers, but all of them have one goal, to serve Hashem. And when all these forces place themselves in the direction of a unifying force, a Torah-inspired vision and aspiration, then all aspects of our cognitive, emotional, biological selves work together to achieve the ultimate purpose for which Hashem gave us life. And that's the harmonization of these powers, which we call Menuchas HaNefesh. Let's put this in English. Hatzurah shel Menuchas HaNefesh, or rather remove from English into Hebrew, but to understand it in 16. The idea of Menuchas HaNefesh is when a person lives by Hargasha, v'lo rak behakara sichli, not just intellectually, but emotionally, to be able to focus on the moment in front of me, to do exactly what needs to be done right now. Not what needs to be done 5 minutes ago, what needs to be done 5 minutes from now. Where do I need to be right now? Right now, my four-year-old is having a meltdown over their costume. The soda will wait. The other children will wait. Right now, the focus has to be on this four-year-old, this costume. So if you start going, whoa, we'll do this and do that, you're in level Bahala, and then you're in confusion, and then you're spinning out of control. If you can delegate, that's great, but if there's only one you, and there's only one thing to do, so what needs your attention at this moment? And notice the Sichos Mordechai, a very interesting insight. He says in 17, how do you know where you're holding? He says, if you have yishuv hadat and time to think about what you're about to do, you don't just react, but you think, what do I need to do now? Is it the soda? Is it the kid who's begging me to go mishloach manor? Is the kid who's having a meltdown about the mishloach manor he didn't get, or the four-year-old? And I'm able to step back and think, what needs my attention right now? You know when you're in good shape. But if you have no yishuv hadat and you're just acting under lachat, under pressure and bilbul, then you know it's coming from the Yetzer Hara. Now, how do we reach this level of Menuchas HaNefesh? The soda's flying, the kids are screaming, the meltdown is happening. How do I reach this level? I almost feel like that commercial cow gum taking me away, like I can't. So here's the key. The ability in 18 of each of us has to experience menuchas and nefesh and live within the center of our beings can be measured by our inner sense of bitachon, trust, security, focus, and balance. The key is, and this is our avoda all the time, is to work on emunah and bitachon. To work on that Hashem is orchestrating every single thing that happens to me. When I understand that this is all coming from Hashem, Hashem has these meltdowns and this soda and all this going on right now as a nisayon for me. Imagine the night before, Hashem would come to you in a dream and say to you, my dear child, let me tell you what's going to be tomorrow on Purim, okay? At 10 o'clock, this is what's going to happen. Your four-year-old is going to have a meltdown about their costume that's too hot for them. Your six-year-old is going to be complaining about the mishloach manot that they didn't get from their friend or want a different one. Your eight-year-old is going to be begging you, why are we leaving already? Why are the other two kids bothering me? And your 12-year-old is going to have fun with the soda flying all over the place. And I'm telling you that this is tailor-made for you as a nisayon to work on your patience, and everything that is happening is being orchestrated by me, and I'm telling you in advance that this is what's going to happen between 10 and 10:03 tomorrow. Okay? Tomorrow comes, and you're looking at your clock, and boom, 10 o'clock, it happens! The 4-year-old is crying, the 6-year-old, the 8-year-old, the soda's flying. Well, you don't lose it. Why? Because you were told this was going to happen. So this is what's happening, because it's all orchestrated from above. This isn't happening at me. This is happening to work with me, to make me who I can become. So I'm calm, cool, and collected. I deal with each one where they're at. When one has that feeling of this is what is supposed to happen, and one feels calm, cool, and collected, that's a lifetime work, my friends. It's not happening overnight. I'm not sure we're going to have it by this Purim. You'll find that your family around you suddenly will be calmer because you're calmer. And the menuchas hanefesh, that inner tranquility, has the ability to be contagious. Our job, and that's the job of Purim, is to work on our bitachon. Notes Rabbi Leff in Festivals of Life. In reading the Megillah, we express the fact that history itself testifies to Hashem's guidance of world events. Behind the myriad of causes and effects, one can discern the hand of Hashem directing everything toward his goals. The Gemara says that the parchment of the Megillah needs sirtut, it must be scored with lines before the letters are written, just like a Torah scroll. The letters and words of the Torah represent the unfolding events in this world. The almost invisible lines on the parchment upon which those letters are written represent the divine plan, the path that is already extant before those events actually occur. The joy of Purim is the joy of knowing that this world has purpose and design and is not left to blind chance. There's no happiness greater than the resolution of doubts. And this is what Mesilth Bevovam talks about in 21 and through 23. That Ata Lo Yadav and Aror Hamelam Baruch Mordechai means that whatever situation I'm in, Hashem is holding me. It's Aror Haman, it's Baruch Mordechai, it makes sense, it doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter. Whether I'm at the beginning of the tunnel, the end of the tunnel, I see the light, I don't see the light, it doesn't matter. As he says in 23, Almei Menuchos Yinahaleni. Our mantra is, Almei Menuchos Yinahaleni. Hashem leads me, Almei Menuchos, on these waters of tranquility, wherever I am. It's exactly where Hashem wants me to be. And if this is where Hashem wants me to be, there's a reason Hashem wants me to be here. Do I understand the reason? Not necessarily. Do I agree with what's going on? No. Do I feel good? Not always. It's not about that. It's about that whatever is happening in my life, on the micro as well as the macro level, it's tailor-made for my neshama to be the best neshama can be, to work on the mitos that I need to work on in any given situation in life. So when I'm able to look at the message of Purim, when I'm able to look at the message of the Purim, is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading the show, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behind all the scenes, albeit Hashem's name isn't mentioned. But everything that transpires is happening because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is leading it. So when I'm able to integrate that message of Purim, I'm able to understand Adelo Yada, that there's no difference between our Haman Baruch Mordechai, whatever is happening to me. Kol David Rachman Lo Tavavi. Hashem is good. Whatever he's doing is good. This is what my neshama needs. This is what I need for my growth. When I reach that message and integrate that message of Purim, I come to a level of tranquility. And that's what we're celebrating on Purim. We're celebrating the tranquility that comes from this bitachon, that I'm able to have asher nachu, to be able to rest. And the moment I have that rest, and I don't act on Bahala, on Mahuma, on all these aspects of Amalek and Haman, I come to be able to vanquish the Amalek within me and the Amalek in the world. I come to this level of Menuchas HaNefesh, and that is what we're celebrating on Purim. The bitachon, the emuna that I've gained from seeing Hashem's hand that allows me to have a life of tranquility, knowing that whatever is happening is for a reason. The 4-year-old, the 6-year-old, the 8-year-old, the 12-year-old are all planned by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Things aren't going to, in the same way, obviously we're human, to throw us off kilter, to get into a state of panic, a state of reactivity, a state of losing it. And that's what we daven for in Purim. Hashem, help us overcome the Amaleks in my life. Help us overcome all of this behala, all this confusion I'm living in, and help me live a life of Menuchas HaNefesh, a life of tranquility. That, my friends, is level number one, a much deeper understanding of what Purim is celebrating. Idea number two of what this Asher Nachu Ma'ivehem, this Menucha, is about, is the Matnat Chaim. And this Matnat Chaim we're going to have to look at really on two levels. Let's start on the most basic level and then take it a little bit deeper. Vanira liba zehu ki adum divrei chazal, asterisk 24, shemi ikre maila sayom hu kimu v'kiblu. Really, what the day is celebrating is the fact that we re-accepted the Torah. Right, kimu mashakiblu kfar. We re-accepted what we originally accepted at Har Sinai. We know at Har Sinai, kafalim har kigigis, Hashem put the mountain over our head, and we were forced to accept the Torah. And on Purim, we now accepted ma'ava sanes, as Rashi said, from the love of the miracle, we re-accepted the Torah again. And that's why Chazal darshan out, lehudim hay ta'ora, and the Jews had light and gladness. Light is Torah. This is what the celebration of Purim is about, is a celebration of Torah. And notes the emotion 25, v'nira she'en ze kefi nitzachon shar umos ha'olam, shitzmechim al etzam nitzachon. Other nations make their holiday, I'm winning the victory. That's not for us. An Yisrael shmechim k'shechozrim l'masulam. We celebrate that we're able to return back to our normal lives, to learn Torah, to have Avodas Hashem. And therefore, the day that we celebrate is not the day of the victory, but rather the day that we're able to have the Menuchas HaNefesh, the tranquility, to go back to our learning Torah. Because really, what Purim is about the celebration of reacceptance of the Torah. Let's try to understand this a little bit deeper before we take it even deeper. There's a beautiful Rabbeinu Bachaya on the Pasuk, source 26, the Matnat Chaim brings, by Yisachar. Yisachar's bracha is Vayara Minucha Kitov. He saw tranquility that it was good, etc. So here, the Bnei Yisachar writes, Ma'as derech mechama v'chayilut v'ra'a menuchas ha-Torah kitov zeh higayon ha-Torah shetzricha menuchas ha-guf v'yad ha-nefesh. That's Rabbeinu Bachaya. The idea of Vayara Minucha Kitov is that Yisachar, who was known to be Yodei Abina, part of Sanhedrin, major part of learners of Torah, right? Yisachar and Zvulun relationship, Yisachar with the people of learning. Yisachar understood that to really be able to learn Torah, you need to have peace of mind. Because if you're bombarded with challenges and so many distractions, there's no way you can focus. Torah study needs a tremendous amount of effort, needs a tremendous amount of focus, and you need to be in a place of tranquility in order to learn. Hence, we usually don't think about this, this explains the bracha that we say in Shemoneh Esrei every day. Hashiva Shavteinu Kavarishana, bring back our judges like originally. The Otsenu Kvatchila and our advisors. And then we say, listen to this. Vaser mi menu yagon vanacha. And take away all these feelings of anguish and sighing. What does that have to do with Ashiva Shoftenu Kvarishona v'Yotzeinu Kvatchila, returning the judges? This is everything it has to do. Because when the judges are sitting and judging, and they're learning Torah and knowing how to decide laws, what do they need? They need Menuchas HaNefesh. They need to have this inner tranquility. Because if they don't have it, they're not going to be able to study Torah on the level they're able to study Torah. So, my friends, we understand now that the fact that Klal Yisrael rested, the resting is an indication that now they're able to apply themselves to Torah learning in the dimension they couldn't have done prior to this, because they were under this edict and they're under all this terror of what's going to happen. Now that it's all over and they have the peace of mind, it's not like we said at the beginning, now they have peace of mind, they're saved, they're protected. That's very simple. It's much deeper than that. Now that they have peace of mind, now they can go to the Torah, which they now re-accepted, and be able to apply themselves to the Torah with greater dedication, with greater determination, because they have this aspect of Menuchas HaNefesh. Now, this, my friends, is really true of all of us. To be able to learn Torah, you need to have this aspect of tranquility. And he asks and comes to the same answer we just saw, but from a whole different place. 27. Truth be told, is even before Mashiach comes, clearly when Mashiach comes, we're going to be in this level of tranquility. A person has to have their heart open to be able to learning Torah in every situation. How can we have this inner tranquility? How can a person have this peace of mind to be able to invest in this Torah study? And the asterisk in 27, the answer is simple, and it's one word. And that word is bitachon, faith. Halo bitachon b'Hashem, v'amuna b'ashkachat toa pratit, aleinu l'tov lanu kol hayomim, hu hu hamarpe l'nefesh v'notein l'yayev koach, l'dromeim akol amikrim p'gei hazman. When a person has bitachon, that Hashem is orchestrating everything, and everything is coming from Him, then a person can be calm and quiet and have this Menuchas HaNefesh. And he says this works, he continues, he says this works both on the outer challenges we have in life, let's say economic challenges and peace, and it works with our inner midos as well. When we're wondering, why does this person have that? And you're jealous of that person and you're having this. And this person made a shidduch with that family. And how come I haven't made shidduchim like this? And this person's taking away that from me. And all these feelings. So when I'm living in all this world of struggle and discontent, how can I possibly learn Torah? So therefore, a person needs to have is menucha, bitachon. How does a person reach menucha? Through bitachon. I know that whatever I'm supposed to have, I'm going to get from Hashem. I know that whatever I'm going through, it's exactly what Hashem wants me to go through. And if I understand it, if I know this, so then I'm not going to get worked up. And if I'm not going to get worked up, and I'm able to have this tranquility and this quality of peace, then I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of me, and I can focus on Torah study. Now, let's try to understand this Kimu V'Kiblu, this reacceptance of the Torah. So says Rav Masihyahu in Source 30, what exactly was that the Jewish people reaccepted now? What was missing in the original acceptance of the Torah that they had to have, so to speak, a renewed Mamad Har Sinai on Purim? And he explains, there's many different answers, he brings down the idea that the Torah Shebichsav, the written Torah, there was no problem. Jewish people said, you know what, written Torah, we're ready to do. But the oral tradition, That were not ready to do. That they had to be forced and coerced to accept. And the reasoning is, source 30, V'yefshar lomot shelo ratzu lekabel pei rusha mitzvot shenemru ba'al peh, kim ein shum havana l'tora shebichta b'lata, elo vadaya kavana, kamof shemfurash b'medrash tenchuma, shal limud tora shebal peh in the bracket, haya vikuach, ki lo timsa tora shebal peh etzol mishim vakesh onek ha'olam taifu. You can't have really learned Torah Shabbat Peh, the oral tradition, if you want to just take it easy in life. And you just want to have, you know, easy in life. Because Torah Shabbat Peh means work. You have to be made mitatzvah. You ever listen to boys learning? They're killing each other over this. And they're spending hours on every line of the Gemara. That's what you need. For years they're doing this. And you're wondering, like, you know, when are they ever going to be finished? They're not. It's endless. And it takes a tremendous toll on effort, focus, mindset, and you need to be in a state of real tranquility. So Klal Yisrael said, there is no way we're going to accept willingly the Torah Shabbat Peh, because there's no way we're going to live a life of tranquility. So that oral tradition had to be forced on them. Comes along the Purim story. And for the first time since Mamad Har Sinai, the Jewish people had an epiphany. They had a realization that they never had before. And that is, Hashem's taking care of them. You know, if you're going to wait for the perfect time and the perfect day to do something, you're going to be waiting your whole life. At the same time, when you know that whatever is happening because Hashem wants it to happen, so then you have that inner tranquility of, I'm okay. When Klal Yisrael were in this situation, which al pi derech hateva, you know, in the natural order of things, they should have been destroyed. And everything worked out so perfectly. Vashti, Esther, Haman, Mordechai, reading of the Sefer Zichronos, like, it was too perfect, right? Achashverosh is upset, and Haman goes, and Nofel Amita, he falls on the couch where Esther is the very moment Achashverosh comes back from the party. I mean, like, hello, like, when Klal Yisrael see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is holding them at all times, Klal Yisrael came to the realization, you know what? We can have Menuchas HaNefesh at any time. Because it's not about, as we originally thought, what's happening outside affects us and we have to find the perfect time to learn. They then understood that it's what's happening inside of us. When we are on a level of Amei Menuchos Yenaleini, when we're on a level of that understanding that everything Hashem is doing is good, and we're on that level of bitachon, that I don't have to worry about what's going on around me. And it was at that moment that they reaccepted the Torah Shabbat Peh, realizing that in order to have Torah Shabbat Peh, you need menucha, inner rest. And the way to get menucha is through bitachon. And the way to get bitachon is to be able to appreciate the Purim story. And hence, the mitzvahs of the day, says Rabbi Yisrael, really reflect this. Batanos of Yoni, Mishloach Manos. All of these mitzvahs, Benotam L'Chaveiro, are to remind me there is no jealousy today. There's just unity today. We all get along because we all have a purpose in life. And as we've spoken about over the years, one of the key aspects of Mishloach Manot is to give it to people who you've had a little bit of a uneasy time during the year, or a miscommunication, or they're mad at you, or you're mad at them, or whatever it may be. Because on Purim, you understand, it wasn't about them not inviting you to their wedding. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't want you to come to the wedding, so for whatever reason, put that juke in their head, not to invite you. It had nothing to do with them. They said an insulting comment to you, it had nothing to do with them. It's coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And when it's coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu, then you understand that this is Ritzon Hashem. And if it's Ritzon Hashem, you're not going to get upset. You'll send them Mishloach Manos. Again, Asher Nachu Ma'ivehem. Purim is about, on the first level, vanquishing Amalek, Menuchas HaNefesh. On the second level, Purim is about Menuchas HaNefesh, which enables us to learn Torah. As Rav Matityahu says, he says, we now understand the Matanos HaMenucha, that the Tzaddikim understand that we didn't get to win the war, so that we could just sit down and have a party. Kima menucha shezachu l'macharan ha-melchama, u'miyah kishematzu l'libam panui min ha-tirdos mafrim, they immediately went to be able shuv mitzvos amal ha-Torah shebal peh beratzon u'ba'ava. And that's why it's important to make time on Purim that and to encourage to learn Torah, because this is what it's about. It's about the menuchas ha-nefesh, the tranquility, to make time for a Kodesh Baruch Hu, to learn Torah. But my friends, let's take this idea a little bit deeper. If Purim is about Asher Nachu, Purim is about Kimu v'Kiblu, that we receive the Torah, and that we're able to see from the outer world that I can't worry about what's going on, because everything is tailor-made by Hashem, and that brings me this Menuchas HaNefesh, and therefore we were forced by Har Sinai. We are no longer feeling forced, because we can appreciate that we're able now to have that realization that wherever we are, we can really learn Torah, even under very difficult situations, because we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. And that's the beauty of the Yid. You know, there's a story told, I remember the exact details, but the story is told of a fellow who made a siyum right after the war, a few years after the war, a very big siyum for finishing a very small masechet. And people came over to him and said, you know, this is like really a big siyum. And that, they didn't say it's such a small masechet, but they intimated that. And he told them the following story. He said he was in the camps, and there was a fellow in the camps who was learning all the time. He was going over, he knew all the Gemara by heart, one Gemara after another. And all day he was working in bed, he just learned. And one night, he was near him in bed, this man who kept on learning, he said, this man turned to me, the person saying the siyum said, and said, I'm not going to make it through the night. You're young, you're going to make it. I am on, I think it was Masechet Shavuot, so I'm not mistaken. I'm on this page, like the beginning, Daf Dalet or something. This is where I'm ending off. I want you to promise me when you get out, you'll make a seal. And he says, you're going to make it through the night. He says, I'm not. I'm telling you where I am. Please promise me. And he says, okay, I promise you. He says, I don't know how to learn, but a promise is a promise. And the man did not make it through the night. And I remembered exactly what he told me, and it took me years to finish this because this wasn't my world. And the siyum I'm making, which is such a big deal, is for that neshama that died that night. The fact that a Jew can learn in the concentration camps is an inner menuchas ha-nefesh ha-bitocho, that wherever I am, I'm in Hashem's hands. And if I'm Hashem's hands, He's taking care of me wherever I am. Even if it's not comfortable and not pleasant and fakir, torturous, in the world around me. That, my friends, is the message of the Purim story. It doesn't matter where we were on the outside. We understood from the Purim story that wherever we are, we're able to learn Torah. We're in the concentration camps, we're able to still learn Torah. That's the message of what we learned, we gleaned from Purim. That's the Kimu v'Kiblu, that's the commitment that Klal Yisrael came from the Purim story. At the same time, my friends, there's an inner Kimu v'Kiblu as well. Rav Rotberg, Moda Labina, 33, Hine Inyan Akvia B'Kablos HaTorah Yagilui Shel Inyan Amiti B'Torah. It's not just that they saw on the outer level, now they can learn Torah. It was much deeper than that. Within themselves, they found that Menuchas HaNefesh, that connection between body and soul to be able to accept Torah. The Inyan HaModaim Kein Hu Chisaron B'Yediel Hechrichit HaTorah. What Klal Yisrael were missing, that Kafa Olem Harke Gigis, he said, you know what, Torah is very nice, and intellectually it's very nice, but you know what, I got to live my life, and I have to have the pleasures of this world, and the body and soul weren't in sync, that you really need Torah to live. Comes along the Purim story, and what Klal Yisrael saw is that, no. Body and soul are connected. That's the deeper understanding in the arrow in 33. Kimu v'kiblu. Kimu l'mala mashikiblu l'mata. Chazal say they accepted above what was accepted below. which on a deeper level is the Kabbalah, Kimu Lamala, is reference to the intellect. Mashakibu Lamata is a reference to the body. Purim story is celebrating where for the first time there's that realization we can't live without Torah. Not only intellectually, but physically as well. When Klal Yisrael were going to be destroyed, Lahashmi, Laharog, Laabe, completely wiped off the map, they realized, oh my gosh, I need Torah. Torah is the air to breathe. I can't live without it. The celebration of Purim, therefore, is a celebration on the physical level of eating and drinking and partying, because it's saying that I'm celebrating on the most physical level the beauty of Torah. But it's about Kimu V'Kiblu. It's about understanding that it's not just celebrating for the sake of celebration. What am I celebrating? And I'm not celebrating winning the war, because that would have been on the 13th. I'm celebrating on the 14th. What am I celebrating? I'm celebrating the result of the Purim story, which was Kimu V'Kiblu, that the Jewish people reaccepted the Torah. Asher nachu ma'aveihem, they rested from their enemies, and now they realize that the only way they can live a Torah-dika life is to have body and soul in sync in service of Hashem. So if you ask somebody, well, what are we celebrating on the Purim day? What we're celebrating is vanquishing Amalek, Menuchas HaNefesh, and we're celebrating the reacceptance of the Torah, which enables me to have the understanding that no matter what's going on around me, I have that inner tranquility, the bitachon, and the inner tranquility that Hashem has taken care of me, and one can learn in the concentration camp, as well as I understand that Torah kim chayenu v'aruch yameinu is my life, not just intellectually, but emotionally as well. In the asterisk in 36, Vas Higiu Yimei Purim Shekir Matzavam, when they saw, as a result of the Purim story, that they were in big trouble, they realized that I have no other option but to accept Torah both on the physical level and on the spiritual level. And that helps us understand the final page, Birkas Mordechai, that what was the reason why we even had the Gzeira in the first part place is because we were Nanem Oso Suda. They enjoyed that meal. In Bechozo Nanu Mesudoso Shal Eno Rasha Mashma Adain Chasrela Mana. If they're having, in 38, if they're having a Hana, enjoyment from this meal, it means Lo Mlea Torah Kometziutam. Torah hasn't filled them completely. They haven't felt that Torah is their entire being. Imnenu Mashma Adain Einam Meleim Torah. Adain Eina Torah Etzem Etziusam. Torah is not the totality of their being. That's why they created their own destiny. If you don't think Torah is your be-all and end-all, so then what are you doing here? And the result is, the consequence is, you don't need to be around. The result of the story, and what we're celebrating on Purim, is we're celebrating our connection to Hashem, which is the entirety of our being. We know in 42, the Gemara says, Yeshno Amachad, Yashnu Amachad. They were sleeping. They were doing the mitzvah without passion. They were lacking this ability to have the Hana. Where my body is enjoying this mitzvah. We say every day, the Bracha Shelo Asani Goy, that you didn't make me a non-Jew. What is that Bracha about? Well, part of that bracha is about is that I feel joy in being Jewish. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu. Thank you for giving me the ability to become an Eved Hashem. Thank you for the ability to gain the greatest pleasure in life. And that pleasure is closest to Hashem. And that's why Purim is off the charts in celebration. Purim is about taking this joy physically and being able to channel it to connection. And obviously, the goal, as Rabbi Miller points out, is not to end on Purim. It's to bring it higher and higher, Pesach, Sfira, Shavuos, to be able to build from Purim. Which brings us to our final idea in 44, which we've mentioned many, many times. It's probably one of my most beloved ideas on Purim, Rav Schwab Zatzal. La Yehudim Hayta Ora V'Simcha Ora Zu Torah, as we mentioned, the light is Torah. This is in Hanukkah. They were allowed to learn Torah. What do you mean that now, afterwards, they had light, they had Torah? They had Torah beforehand. It was Ora, it was Torah B'li Ora. It was light without, it was Torah without light. It was Yontif without Simcha. Their challenge is to be able to feel it. V'achar Yeshua Nafochu. Lehudi Maita Torah Mora, Yontif and Simcha, Milim Sosot. It's filling it in the car. My friends, this is what we're celebrating on Purim. We're celebrating the fact that we are Avdei Hashem. Just to win a war, what does that mean? It's limited. Okay, so we won. So another nation may come up and destroy us, which they have, unfortunately, over and over again. There has to be something deeper. Purim is a holiday that's going to be around for the future as well. What is the depth of Purim? What is that sense of La'asi Lavo, the future in Purim? We're at into that period. We have to prepare ourselves. It's on the first level knowing, Bitachon. That's the overarching theme of Purim. What should we walk away with on Purim? Hashem is taking care of us. There is no mistake. Hester Panim, Hashem may be concealed. He is watching over every single thing that we think, that we do, that we experience in life. And that's what we have to understand. The intimacy that Hashem has in all of our lives, to see the orchestration in all of our lives, all of this is coming from the Ribono Shel Olam. That's idea one. The upshot of that is, I have Menuchas HaNefesh. I don't get frustrated. I don't get flustered. That's what Purim is about. That's what the Menuchas HaNefesh is about. That's vanquishing Amalek. The second aspect of Purim is that the whole reason we were able to overcome the enemy is the understanding of Bitachon, to put it into Limud Torah, to Kimu V'Kiblu. And it's not just Kimu V'Kiblu that I accept the Torah Shebaal Peh and under every circumstance I serve Hashem. It's the Kimu V'Kiblu, Kimu L'Mala Mashakiblu L'Mata, that the entirety of my being is connected to the realization that I have no greater pleasure than the service of Hashem. I can't live without serving Hashem. Purim is about my deeper commitment to Avodas Hashem. When a person then is going to go through the holiday of Purim, rededicating their efforts to show Hashem in making brachos, in the learning of Torah, in our behavior, our interpersonal relationship, in everything I do, a reflection of the Samuna Bitachon, that Hashem is leading me. And therefore I want to daven with more kavana, and I want to show more love to the people around me, and less hatred, and less jealousy. When I'm living the message of Purim, and I rededicate myself to my Torah learning, to my chesed, to my avodas Hashem, then I've really celebrated Purim. Not on the day we won the war. That comes and goes. Asher nachu ma'ivehem. The upshot of winning the war, the way I live my life, my raison d'etre in life, that is indeed what we're celebrating at Purim.